This episode of Revive Our Hearts Weekend is sponsored in part by members of our monthly partner team. Thank you so much for your support. Okay, so if you look back on your life over the last week, how much time did you spend on social media in comparison to how much time you spent reading the Bible? Here's Aaron Davis.
You can be on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You could be on them 10 hours a day, and your standing with the Lord is not dependent on that, but he's always leading us to a more excellent way.
Social media isn't necessarily bad, but is it keeping you from making room in your heart for Christ? We'll talk about that today. Welcome to Revive Our Hearts Weekend. I'm Dana Gresh. December. As soon as I flipped the calendar to this month, I could practically feel the buzz of excitement. Well, you know what? That's not exactly true. This year, I couldn't wait to flip the calendar. I started decorating before Thanksgiving. Shh. Well, now here it is. And you know, I know what usually happens. Before I know it, my days are full, but I am running on empty. Now, this year, I actually have a plan in place to avoid that, and I'll tell you about it later on. But I can't be the only one who struggles with this. Am I right? At Christmas time, or for that matter, any season when life gets busier and busier, how do we make time for what matters most? I have an idea to help us with that. Here throughout the month of December, I want to work our way through a Christmas carol. I'm sure you're familiar with it, Joy to the World. We'll just pick up on some of the most known lines and soak in them. And this weekend, I want us to pause on the lyric, "Prepare Him Room." And I want to ask the question, as we get closer to Christmas, are we preparing more room in our hearts for Jesus? What does that actually look like in our lives, both here at Christmas and in every busy season? How do we make Christ the focus of our hearts and lives when we have so much going on? This weekend, let's remember why it's important we make room for him, especially when it comes to one specific area of our lives, social media. So get out a mug of your favorite hot drink and come sit by the fire with me. Let's listen as Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth talks about how to use our time well, even when the tyranny of the urgent tries to distract us from what's most important.
You may want to ask an older, godly woman to mentor you in this area, to offer practical help and suggestions about how to order your schedule. I had dinner last night with six women who are at different seasons of life, and we sat around the table for the longest time and talked about this matter of priorities. And it was so helpful to me to hear some of these women, some of them older women, talk about what God has taught them about ordering their priorities. And I was sitting there thinking about my life and some practical things, some wisdom I can learn from these other women. And by the way, some of you who are the older woman, take seriously your responsibility to encourage some younger women who are really struggling with how to order their priorities. Now take advantage of the time God gives you. Learn to redeem the time, or as the scripture says, to make the most of every opportunity. There's a wonderful passage in Ephesians chapter 5 that relates so well to this point. The Apostle Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or carefully, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time," or as another translation says it, "making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be filled with the Spirit." There's a contrast here between foolish people and wise people. Foolish people live for the moment without thinking about the future. But wise people are always making decisions in light of eternity, in light of the long run. Will this matter 5 years from now? Will this matter in eternity? Foolish people live for themselves, but wise people live for the glory of God and for others. Foolish people are careless with their time. They're just reacting to life. But wise people are thoughtful and intentional and purposeful in how they use their time. The Lord is helping me to find some practical ways to take advantage of every opportunity. And by the way, when you do your little time log, you'll find that there are probably some segments of time that are just really being wasted that could be utilized more effectively. That's why it helps to look at that time log and see what you're really doing with your time. But I find that there are segments of time, not always big ones. If you're a mom with little kids, you may never have a whole uninterrupted hour, but you may have 5 minutes while you're sitting in the car waiting for your daughter to get out of school. You may have a long while you're sitting waiting in a doctor's office. In fact, I've got in the habit of always taking with me things that need to be done that I can stick into those little moments. I usually have thank you notes, blank cards that I can use when I have moments here and there. Often when I go to the doctor's office, I will take something with me that's an editing project I need to work on because I know in the doctor's office I'm going to have to wait. In fact, I can remember a couple times sitting waiting for a long period of time while I was getting editing done on projects that needed to be done. And the doctor would come in and apologize for making me wait so long. And I've said, please don't apologize. This is wonderful. This is the only place where I can't get interrupted. I was able to get a lot of work done while I was sitting here waiting for you. So rather than sitting in the doctor's office and reading the magazines that they choose for you, why not take the reading material that you really need to get through, the things that are important? If we're going to take advantage of the time God gives us to redeem the time and to make the most of every opportunity, does that mean we can never relax? Means we never have fun. We always make sure we're doing something important with every spare moment. And this is an important thing to me because I grew up in a home where my dad really emphasized the danger of wasting time. In fact, in our home, we didn't have a television. We didn't take a newspaper. And his biggest reason for that was people waste a lot of time with newspapers. And we did find ways of getting the important news, but he emphasized the importance of not wasting time. Well, does that mean that we should never do anything that's fun or that's relaxed? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that when we are relaxing, when we are recreating, having recreation, it should be intentional. It should be for a purpose of a higher priority. It may be that you realize you need to be spending just relaxed time with your children. For you to sit on the floor and crayon with your toddlers for an hour is not a waste of time if you're nurturing that little life. That's why you have to know, what is the season of life and how can I take advantage of the moments that God has given to me in that life?
Oh, yes, that resonates with my heart. I hope this message from Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth encourages you to make the most of every day, to make Christ your focus, whatever season of life you're in. So what does it look like to prepare him room, particularly when it comes to social media? I mentioned that earlier. I ask this because, well, I have a little bit of a problem. I end up feasting on mindless photos of food on social media. Of course, it's Christmas food these days, but I also get wrapped up in looking at pictures of the perfectly wrapped gift. Huh, I made a joke and I didn't know it. Now, how are looking at those things going to make my day better? I admit, I do waste time scrolling, but I don't want to. So how do you balance your time on social media? Are you in control of it, or is it in control of you? If it's got you locked in, you might not have room in your heart for Jesus. Social media can squeeze him right out. Sarah Ekoff-Zylstra has been off social media for 6 months, and she shares a few pitfalls that we may not see on social media in this conversation with our very own Aaron Davis.
You can be friends with everybody. You can know everything. You can know everything immediately as it's happening. You can be everywhere. The more technology we get, the more it makes us feel like we're like God.
Yeah.
In those omniscient and omnipresent ways. And social media is no different. And it promises to us a limitless existence. However, I am not God. I cannot work in every situation that I see on social media in a way that gives glory to God and brings good to the world. And so as a limited creature that has finite resources and time and attention, for me to scroll through a newsfeed and see a hurting family followed by an ad for Hobby Lobby, followed by a gender reveal party, followed by a somebody's kid did this, followed by somebody went camping. Like, it's just a lot for our brain to process.
Yeah.
And we don't process it fast enough, and it makes us anxious. And that is one reason why we're feeling all that anxiety all the time. So embracing your limit, remembering that you're limited is one of your keys to success.
Come on. That's the heart of this issue I've never heard anybody explore before, which I was hoping we'd get to some of those like really deep heart issues, which, yeah, I am trying to be everywhere at once. I am trying to see everything all the time. I am trying to be engaged on multiple fronts. And the jury's not out. The jury is in that as anxiety has skyrocketed, so has our social media uses, or vice versa. So it's good for us to be aware that we're having an internal reaction to all that we're seeing. A word I don't hear much at all, but especially tied to social media, is the word discernment, but that's a pretty churchy word. So what is discernment? And as you've walked through these months, I'm sure, of studying social media and God's word, how have you walked out discernment in your own life?
Yeah, that's really good. You know, discernment is using wisdom to choose the best path. And there's a million definitions with that one. And I think for us as women on social media, it's the easiest path. Right? It's social media. I'm bored. I'm tired. I want to check out a little bit. I feel like I need a break from whatever I'm working on. And social media is our easy go-to drug of choice for that. Like, that's just going to fill up our time and give us a little bit of a lift. But if we're really using discernment and thinking ahead about how we want to spend our time, the return on investment we get for social media is very low. We did a survey of 1,500 women. We sent it out to TGC-related women, the women who go to our conferences or buy our books. So these are women who have pretty strong theology and love the Lord and go to church regularly. Yeah. And they said that the primary reason that they go to social media is to connect with friends and family. And I'm sure that resonates with you, right? Like, we want to go there because we love people and we want to build community and we want to show them Jesus and we want to walk with them. And yet less than 2% said that when they want to connect with friends and family, social media is the primary way that they go. If you want to tell your mom something, you call her.
Yeah.
If you want to tell your best friend something, you say, come over for coffee, or you go for a walk, or you WhatsApp her, or whatever it might be. Mm. But our return on investment for like the amount of time that we have invested in social media and the return we're getting back, which is like, you know, Susie from ninth grade can see our posts.
Right.
It doesn't match.
Yeah. You're so right. I mean, my inner circle, I'm only on Instagram, and I'm trying to think of my closest group of friends, how many of them follow me or I follow them on Instagram. It's very, very small percentage. And I've tried to protect that because that world doesn't feel real. And I do want my real friendships, but it's composed of thousands of people I may never meet. And so the wisest path, I love that idea. Take us to Psalm 119:37. I'll have you read it to us. And then just give us a social media application, because this was written before social media, but all scriptures God-breathed and useful for instruction. So how do you apply this specific verse to social media?
Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Mm. And isn't that just, boy, there's a lot of worthless things that are out there. And I don't necessarily mean sinful things or bad things even.
Yeah.
I just mean, if my choice is looking at my children who are in front of me, or looking at my work that is in front of me that I'm getting paid to do, or looking at a book, a biography of a person that is really admirable. When you think about that verse in Philippians about what we are to set our minds on, how much of that aligns with looking at advertisements or, you know, the gossipy stuff that we look at online? I'm not saying we should never go there. I'm just saying that if you were building a pyramid of how you want your life to look, the wisdom pyramid, and the very tip top where you should spend the smallest amount of your time is social media. Mm. And the rest of it, we should be like cramming our lives full of the Bible and worship music and planning for our families and our own lives, right? Or volunteering at our church or being outside.
Without photographing the sunset, just watching it. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So choosing the better way, I think, is how we can apply discernment here.
I love that because, I mean, we're not talking about anybody's salvation. You can be on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You could be on them 10 hours a day, and your standing with the Lord is not dependent on that. But he's always leading us to a more excellent way. You're helping us ask the right questions. Is it a sin to be on social media? Well, if we need to paint it with a really broad brush, then no. But is it turning your eyes toward or away from worthless things. For me, it's the cooking videos, man. I just watch the cooking videos all day and then be too tired to cook dinner for my family. At the end of watching all that cooking videos, they're not really helping me be a better cook. So, and there's nothing sinful about a cooking video, but sometimes it can be pretty worthless. There's a section on the book on posting well, which I love. And actually, this is something that my pastor will approach from the pulpit regularly, which I appreciate. But what are some of the guardrails that you've learned to implement? Now you're social media free, but before you were, mm-hmm. some of the guardrails for how, when, why you post?
I think we just fall into a couple traps. And one is sort of aspirational posting, right? And we know we do this and we keep doing it, which is like, everything is going so great. Or you're really just posting when good things are happening. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I think probably that's the right use of social media, because another way we can fall off the trap, and especially when I was talking to Gen Z girls, is you get into like vulnerability posting when you're actually posting inappropriately too much bad stuff. Like that wasn't really meant to be shared with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to choose kind of that middle way, one of the best ways you can do that is to let your social media should be an overflow of your real life. And so when you're just on social media constantly, you start to just sound like a repeat of everything else that's on social media. But if you're going to actually come up with something original to say and a good connection to make, or an insight into God's word, or an observation about the world around you, you have to be rooted and mostly living in the real world.
Yes, how true that is. How are you spending the majority of your time? Are you rooted in reality? It's one way that you and I can make more room for Jesus in our hearts. You know, Sarah's husband had to lock her out of Facebook. He would actually change her password and give her certain times to be online because she had such a hard time staying off. He holds her accountable. Who in your life can keep you accountable? This year for me, it's actually Erin Davis. A couple of months ago, she released a book called Fasting and Feasting. It's a devotional about having balance in the way we approach food. And well, since food and social media and shopping and, well, all of it tend to throw me off balance in December, I decided to save this little gem of a book for this month. I'm reading through it right now as my Christmas devotional. Now, I know it's a bit off theme, but I really wanted to prepare him room in my heart this year like never before. So I'm fighting all the appetites that crowd him out. This is just my personal way of doing that. What's yours? Incidentally, you could get a copy of Fasting and Feasting by Erin Davis at reviveourhearts.com. You could join me if you want. Now, maybe you need help in the area of social media use, or you need to eat fewer Christmas cookies, or stay mindful of the budget, or in this busy holiday season. What if you ask someone to help keep you accountable to do some positive things, like read the Christmas story with your kids, or maybe you'd like to memorize part or all of the Christmas story from your Bible? Get creative. Find ways to prepare your heart for the Lord. Well, as we just heard, we know social media has its challenges. Have you been thinking about the influence it has on your life? How much weight does it hold in your heart versus the weight of the gospel? Here's Portia Collins.
A lot has changed with social media since 2006, but one thing still remains the same. Social media carries a great deal of influence in many of our lives. And while I can appreciate many aspects of social media, I must admit that I'm often very concerned about the long-term effects that this influencer culture has on us as believers. Mm-hmm. You know, from what I've seen, influencer culture ascribes value to people based on the number of followers you have or likes. And unfortunately, this system of perceived merit can lead us to think that we aren't important or valued because we don't have a plethora of followers or likes or content that everybody is sharing. And, you know, I experienced the reality of this problem just a few weeks ago at the True Woman 22 conference. A sweet, grounded sister approached me and she excitedly said, "I watch Grounded. I watch you on Grounded. I follow you. I feel like I know you." And then she said something that broke my heart a little bit. She said, "You don't know me. I'm not anybody special." And she started talking about how, you know, she didn't have, you know, any platform or just an average social media account. And I immediately grabbed her hands and I told her, "Yes, you are special. You are very special." And I know it may have seemed trite to respond in this way, but it is true. As beloved sisters in Christ, we are all special. The gospel of Jesus Christ makes each of us so special and so loved. You know, the interesting thing about the message of the gospel is that it goes against the grain of everything relative to influencer culture. The gospel takes what is despised and esteems it. The gospel takes the ugly and makes it beautiful. The gospel calls the last to be first and the first to be last. The gospel says the road of the servant is more blessed than the road of the served. The gospel gives worth not because of who we are or how many followers we have or how much we're liked, but all because of Christ. I want you to listen to the words of the Apostle Paul from the book of Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to read 4 through 10, but it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." Sister, I want you to hear this and hear me loud and clearly. You don't have to be the influencer. Your value to the kingdom of God does not rest in your platform or your social media presence or the amount of likes that you have. It all rests in Christ. You are his workmanship. Christ is the one who crowns us with all dignity, value, worth, and honor. Rest in that truth today. Amen.
Amen. I hope you'll let that truth Portia just shared really sink in. Your value rests in Christ. Isn't that freeing? And when we stop to consider the reality of the gospel, the reality of who Jesus is, it makes me want him to be the focus of my heart more than anything. More than my appearance on social media, more than accomplishing my great big Christmas to-do list, more than trying to keep up in the busy season. I want to prepare room in my heart for Christ. I want to keep him as my priority. Do you? I hope today's episode has encouraged you as you go about the rest of your weekend. Through everything we do at Revive Our Hearts, our prayer is to help you and women everywhere thrive in Christ. In the storms of life, the challenges, and the uncertainties all around us, our only hope is to cling to Jesus. When you support Revive Our Hearts here in December, you're helping anchor countless women to Jesus, the solid rock. And with your gift this month, it will be matched dollar for dollar through our matching gift campaign. That means your support will have twice the impact in reaching women around the world with the hope of Christ. Make your gift today by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or go to our website, reviveourhearts.com. Has today's episode got you singing Joy to the World? We're going to keep singing from that Christmas carol, and next time we'll explore this line, repeat the sounding joy. Thanks for listening today, and thanks to our team, Phil Krause, Blake Bratton, Rebecca Krause, Justin Converse, Michelle Hill, Michaela Brickner, and for Revive Our Hearts Weekend. I'm Dana Gresh. Revive Our Hearts, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.